For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
Where it is Sunday, July 31st, 2016, and there's no sign of the summer in the great city of Manchester. Horrendous. Not raining as such, not now, but it's grim, it's dull, it's overcast, it's fairly miserable. At least it is where I am. But I'm delighted to be chatting with you. Welcome to the programme. Sunday View is brought to you in association with davidicke.com/headlines. And we're broadcasting live on Fab Radio. Fab Radio 2, that is, davidicke.com. There's a tune-in app, richieallen.co.uk. And it's great to be with you. Hope you've had a good weekend thus far. You're in good form, in good shape, and you're looking forward to your Sunday, wherever you happen to be. David had another triumphant talk, I suppose. I'm always hesitant to use the word show because it isn't a show as such. But yesterday in Melbourne was another huge success for David Icke and his team on the Worldwide Wake Up Tour. And that event yesterday concludes the Australian leg of the tour. He's off now to Auckland in New Zealand, where he will be next Saturday. That's next Saturday. Tickets at davidicke.com and theworldwidewakeup.com as well. Huge success. And after the Auckland event, there will be a very short break, and then he's off to the United States. Like I said, all the information on the tour, where he's going to be, tickets and all of that is available at davidicke.com or theworldwidewakeup.com. Now, Sunday View is live, and it has been for quite a while. It's been a couple of months now, hasn't it, or more, we've been doing it live. So you can tweet the programme. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter, and richie@richieallen.co.uk is the email address. Twitter or tweeting is good because it's instant and I can read those out. I'm following Twitter all the time. Good morning, Wayne. Wonderful here, he says. How's the teeth? The teeth are all right. Had a traumatic visit to the dentist on Friday, which I gave very serious consideration to cancelling at the last minute. Such a monumental coward I am when it comes to all things dentist. I had to have a couple of bad roots taken out, and I had to have some work done, a couple of fillings, and it wasn't very pleasant. It isn't a pleasant thing, and after a couple of very bad experiences as a kid, I had avoided the dentist for years. Just avoided the dentist. In fact, I went to a dentist in Spain to have an extraction done about 4 years ago because there was no other option. Such was the pain, really. So I went in Spain, had it done, hated that, and didn't really ever want to see a dentist ever again. But because I have some work that needs doing really urgently, is that if I didn't have done, I would have very serious problems in the future. I've kind of bitten the bullet. And on Friday, I had visit one of four. One of the visits, the next time I go there, it's going to be a long visit because they're going to be chipping away at two teeth to make room for a false tooth, a kind of a three-unit bridge thing. That's what they call it anyway. And I'm not vain, me. Anybody who's seen me on the television programme or met me know that I have a gap. I have a tooth missing in my upper teeth. But I've never been vain. I've never been one too concerned about personal appearances or image or any of that old bollocks. You know, I'm a very clean person. I'm fetishistically clean, actually. Almost got OCD with cleanliness. But I don't care too much about image. And I've done the TV shows for a long time, and I've not cared that I'm missing a tooth. But I've been thinking about other people, the future Mrs. Allen. If and when we have our own children, you know, and teaching her child about looking after their teeth and all of that and hygiene. So I'm going to plug that gap and be done with it and get a couple of other things done. Now, I'm only saying that because I was asked by a number of you how it went. I did post some stuff on Friday, more to make you laugh than anything else, on the Facebook page. But visit one is down. Visit two, I think, comes in 10 or 12 days because the dentist is taking his holiday. So I get a bit of respite between now and then. Alrighty, it's not very pleasant, is it? And no matter what you do, no matter how calm you try and make yourself, the sound of that fucking drill, while you've got your mouth open, you're lying almost horizontal, you're totally vulnerable, it's not nice. But anyway. So Sunday View then, this is where today I do two things. Look at the Sunday newspaper front pages and have a look at one or two of the bigger stories of the last week and hopefully tell you one or two things that you haven't learned from watching Sky, BBC or Fox or any of the rest of them or even reading a broadsheet newspaper. Simple as that. Right, that's what Sunday View is all about. Coming up for 5 minutes past the hour. Good morning, Sue. Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Feathers R Us, who says that he or she is phobic of the dentist and would prefer a beak like my birds. Yeah, you're brave. Well, I'm not really brave. Like I said, I'm really not brave. I have no choice. If I don't do it now, I might end up having surgery in years to come. Trotsky says that's something else. That's answering something else. Yeah, so you know what the Twitter handle is. Let's just move on and have a look at the Sunday papers. Now, the Sunday Observer. And this is where I grab my size with my hands and fix myself to my chair and try not to rant or get annoyed. Not with the establishment or the state, but with the sheep, that word that I don't like, for tolerating the shit that is served up to them. This is a big story today. The Sunday Observer and the Sunday Express. Doubts grow over totemic cash pledge to pensioners. The triple lock protection for state pensions should be dropped to save billions of pounds, according to the outgoing pensions minister. The Department for Work and Pensions declined to rule out a review of the totemic policy in coming months. What the bloody hell is the totemic policy, you ask? Well, under the so-called triple lock guarantee, pensions have risen every year since 2010, by whichever is the higher figure. So it's either the rate of inflation, average earnings, or 2.5%. It was a guarantee made just before the last general election by David Cameron that this would continue. It has lifted people out of poverty, apparently. Pensioners particularly, obviously. But Baroness Altman, who is leaving her post as the Minister for Pensions, said the cost beyond 2020 would be enormous. So she spoke to the Observer and said billions of pounds that would be spent on making sure the pensions rise by 2.5% at least every year could be better used. She declined to say how better they could be used or where better that money could be spent. She revealed that she had a private conversation with David Cameron before the last election, where she told him to drop the commitment of hiking the pensions year on year, but said that Cameron had blocked the change on political grounds. So he lied about it then to win the last election. She said, now that Theresa May is in Downing Street, we can abandon the policy. You see, this is the essence of the wage slavery contract. The willingness of you and me to get up every morning at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, work in a job that we can't fucking stand, to be a wage slave. Just to survive for 40 years. Based on the unwritten, unsigned contract that when we retire, we will be provided for. But in the Hunger Games society, a term coined by David Icke, there'll be none of that. When you get to 65, there's going to be fuck all in the pension pot for you. And when that happens, don't even dare get sick. Don't even dream of it, because the NHS, which in your lifetime used to be free at the point of entry, no longer will be, because by then it'll be privatised. It'll be gone, sold to the highest fucking bidder, an American company. This is your life. Welcome to it. While you're running around with your mobile phone, pointing it down alleys to see does an imaginary figure show up on it. While you couldn't give a shit about your next door neighbour, what he or she is doing, who they are, what their names are. These people are dismantling the very fabric of your existence. Most people couldn't give a shit because they don't know about it. Same story in the Sunday Express. Secret plan to cut your pension. What a cesspool this world we live in is. I'm going to tell you a story. I wasn't going to do this because I never make... I talk a little bit about me sometimes, sometimes to make you laugh, sometimes to kind of relate to a story, but I never make it too personal. I'm living next door to a guy, and this morning, just after 8:30, this guy starts up this kind of mini JCB digger and starts drilling and starts banging. He's doing some renovation work on his property. Not on our front door, not on the front door of anybody else. In the last few days, did this guy pay a visit to say, I'm going to be doing some work. It's going to be noisy. Is it okay if I do it on Sunday morning? I've got people living across the street from me. I don't know who they are. When I say hello to them, as I am determined to do, no matter how many times I'm ignored, they look the other way. You sit down next to somebody on a bus, they look at you as if you've committed a fucking crime. And it's this level of disconnect amongst people that allows this sort of news to be broadcast today. We're going to fuck your pension. What are we going to do? Nothing. Because we can't stand one another. We have no time for one another. We hate one another. That's been my experience. I'm saying this to the future Mrs. Allen this morning. She was like, when you say stuff like that, it could easily be misconstrued that you're depressed. That sounds like depressed stuff. She's like, I know you're not depressed, but anybody else listening to that might think this guy needs to pay a visit to a psychiatrist. I'm not depressed. Generally a happy guy. But what I see around me are people who couldn't give a fuck about the person standing next to them. How did we get to that? I grew up on a housing estate called Ballybeg in Waterford City. Our lives, our successes, our failures, the good and the bad was shared with everybody around us. Everybody knew everybody else. Front doors weren't locked. And this isn't some romantic remembering or misremembering of the way things used to be. I'm only 41, I'm not 70, I'm not 90. This is how it used to be. People cared for one another. Imagine people running around. I saw this the other day. Max Egan said it on the programme. I thought, Jesus Christ, it's bad, but it's not that bad. Surely there's not that many people playing that fucking game. I'm in Manchester City Centre. They're running around with the fucking thing in their hands. Men. Women. Looking for imaginary fucking creatures on a phone. Oh, fucking hell. Jesus Christ. Imagine it. I'm not exaggerating about the neighbours. I can't have a conversation with the people who live around me. Look at you with suspicion, with hostility. Don't want to know. That's the Sunday Express and the Sunday Observer. I'm not trying to piss you off today. The Sunday Times leads with the headline, Revealed Cameron's Honours for Cronies. David Cameron, no longer Prime Minister, left, resigned after Brexit. He's now going to lavish knighthoods on his cronies, on his friends, on campaigners who campaigned to remain in the European Union. Tory donors and some of his personal aides are going to get knighthoods, CBEs and MBEs. Four cabinet ministers, Philip Hammond, Michael Fallon, Patrick McLaughlin and David Lidington are going to get knighthoods. Criminals. George Osborne is going to become a companion of honour, whatever that means. Tory donors who gave over £3 million to the Conservatives are going to be given knighthoods. And this is true, and I can't believe I'm saying this today, but Isabel Spearman, who is a stylist to David Cameron's wife, Samantha, will be given an OBE. his wife's fucking stylist, eh? The Order of the British Empire for a stylist. Yeah, this is it. This is the reality of it. On a day when they say, we told you we were going to protect your pensions. But we're not really. Oh, by the way, Samantha's stylist is going to get an OBE. You know what pisses me off more than anything? You know what pisses me off? My great friend is in Australia and New Zealand, and I love that man. And I actually think, and I've said it to his face before, we've had arguments about it, I sometimes think he's wasting his fucking time with people. Wasting his time. I sometimes think people are not worth it. And I'm not talking about me. I have no grandiose, delusional ideas about me or this show. I'm nobody important. We talk to a few thousand people a night. And we do a show. I'm not important. I don't do anything for anybody. I'm talking about him and people like him. I sometimes think, you know what, mate? People are not worth it, mate. They don't deserve it. They don't do anything about anything. Sunday Telegraph, Theresa May, I'm going to end slavery. She's writing in the Telegraph. Between 10,000 and 13,000 people in the UK are victims of slavery in this country, trafficked into this country, passports confiscated to do shit jobs. Yeah, that's right, there are, and it's terrible. And the people who profit from human trafficking, the kidnappers, the lunatics, the crime gangs, yes, they should be locked up. But we're all slaves. We're all wage slaves. We're all barely making it to the end of the week in jobs that we can't stand. I mentioned this earlier on. While we're being lied to by a handful of people. A handful of people. I said this to Caroline this morning. Both of us were ranting about this. We're talking about millions of decent people. Millions of people like you and I. And a handful of fucking criminals. I'm going after the trafficker, says May. That's in the Sunday Times. Not going to waste any more time with that. It's evil, she said, it's evil. Yeah. Sending undercover agents to a country to start bloody wars based on lies to kill millions of people, that's evil. Giving a war chest to Saudi Arabia to rain hellfire and damnation down on Yemen while your military officers sit in the control rooms telling the Saudi Arabian officers how to use those weapons, that's evil too, isn't it? That's really evil. The Mail on Sunday today. Sex change men to give birth on the NHS. Jesus Christ, that's a bit of light relief anyway. Three British men who were born female are on the brink of becoming parents using IVF techniques, according to a top doctor. Dozens more are now having their eggs frozen. These are women who changed to, who had a sex change operation to become men. They're having hormone therapy now to help them become parents. And it's being funded by the taxpayer, says the Mail. I couldn't give a shit, to be honest. That's in the Sunday Mail. And also in the Sunday Mail is the headline. Yes, boys, you can have sex slaves. Outrage as British Muslim cleric at the mosque where Cardiff jihadis were radicalised tells teenagers that captives are permissible under Islam in vile sermon. Big story in the Mail today. A British Muslim cleric in Cardiff has been telling teenagers that keeping slaves is permissible under Islam in vile sermon. So does the text support the story? Well, it does. The guy's name is Ali Hamouda. He's an imam at the Cardiff Mosque, where previously three young jihadis from the city worshipped before travelling to join Islamic State. He told boys as young as 13, the day of judgment is close. And he did say that keeping slaves or keeping women as sex slaves is actually permissible under Islamic. No, he didn't say. Yes, he did say it was permissible under Islamic law. That's right. Do you want to hear the clip? It's not marvellous. This is from the Sunday Mail, the Daily Mail website itself. I say it's not marvellous. It's a bit scratchy, but you might be able to make it out. This is some of that sermon filmed by an undercover reporter. Oh, the likes of Paul Joseph Watson and, is that his name? It is. And Tommy Robinson. Well, they'll have a field day with this one.
One of the interpretations of what this means is that towards the end of time, there will be many wars. like what we are seeing today. And because of these wars, women would be taken as captives, as slaves. Yeah? Women would be taken as slaves. And then her master has relations with her, because this is permissible for him in Islam. In Islam, it's permissible to have relations with a woman who is your slave or your wife. But the one that I think is strongest, he says, is that towards the end of time, you will see a lot of Muslims disobeying their mothers and fathers. SubhanAllah, that is tremendous understanding. That you see a woman giving birth to her master. In other words, you see children speaking to their mothers and fathers as if they are your slave.
Yeah, that's it. It's a poor quality clip, that, but you heard him say that there. Women will be given back to their masters and all of that sort of stuff. That's a non-story, I think. And at the risk of being, you know, called a screaming liberal and a blind liberal, listen, I know that there are lunatics out there, but I've got to believe that this guy is in the minority. The Daily Mail did have the decency to point out that slavery is not permitted in Islam. The Mail took pains to point that out as well. I'd be interested to see what the Muslim Council of Great Britain and, you know, one or two other bodies have to say about this guy. This guy is obviously an idiot. We've had guys like that before. Sheikh Omar Bakri many years ago. There's always idiots, really, you know. And no religion is immune from these fools. No religion is immune from them. But of course, in the current climate, stories like that are going to be jumped on and they're going to be rolled out and they're going to be, well, kind of treated or given treatment as if they are kind of the norm. It's a scaremongering story. The guy's a fool, this guy, you know. And those who are responsible for the placement of imams in mosques around Britain as the Roman Catholic Church, you know, from Rome, cardinals are appointed. I tried to find out this morning. It's very difficult in a short period of time. I didn't have enough time to find out what is the supreme Islamic authority in Great Britain. Who do these imams have to answer to? Is there, you know, we know who the heads of the Roman Catholic Church are in England and in Ireland. Is there a head of the Islamic faith in Britain? I didn't have time to find that out. I'm sure it's easy enough to find out, but I mean, I'm sure if this guy can be kicked out of his job, he'll be kicked out of his job, you know? He's a monumental muppet. Sunday Mirror, front page headline, BBC bid to end cliff feud. Now, the Sunday Mirror alleges the BBC are trying to repair relations with Cliff Richard because he's taking legal action against them. You might remember the BBC filmed a raid on his home by the police when he was accused of sex offences, child sex offences, or offences against a minor. Basically, the Sunday Mirror are saying that the BBC are going to play songs from Cliff's new album. Mother of Jesus. Please, God, no. Not that I spend much time listening to BBC music programmes. He's been cleared of the allegations made against him. I'm not going to bore you with something I've told you before, but you know that I believe those who wish to cover up the extent of paedophilia in Britain and beyond have been throwing allegations at certain people who haven't abused anybody to muddy the water. They then get to say it's a hoax, it's a witch hunt, but of course it isn't a hoax and it's not a witch hunt. You and I both know that historic paedophilia goes right to the top of politics in this country. We know that. I'm not going to labour that point. It's not a hoax under any circumstances. This is Sunday View, brought to you in association with davidicke.com/headlines. Going to take a very quick break. When I come back, going to look at one or two stories in depth, and I will read some of your tweets as well.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Number of you are absolutely apoplectic to learn that the stylist for Samantha Cameron has been recommended for an OBE by David Cameron, the former Prime Minister. One or two of you have suggested to me that this just might be, you know, sensationalism by the newspapers. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. The Times and the Telegraph have seen the documents. They have recommended that a fucking hairdresser to the wife of the Prime Minister gets an OBE. Number of you as well talking about Sir Philip Green and the BHS massive pension pot hole. That criminal bastard, Sir Philip Green, eh? Taking massive amounts of money out of that company, even though he had billions. Knowing that as he was doing it, he was fucking the workers, the 9-to-5 men and women who came to BHS every day. Knowing he was doing that. Number of people saying, will he be denied? Well, he should be, of course. He should be in fucking prison. I'm not even going to try to temper the language today. I've never been as pissed off with that pension story because I know nobody's going to do anything about it. Going to roll over, bend over, even take the trousers down, spread your cheeks. Don't even ask for any lube. Just take it. Catherine, interesting tweet from Catherine there. Unfortunately, Richie, the Quran does say that, which is why ISIS has captured Yazidi women as sex slaves. Catherine, it might do. Don't get me started on the Old Testament. What the Mail were saying today, though, is correct. Islamic scholars the world over have denounced the idea that it's owed to, you know, it's okay to keep women as sex slaves. They've denounced it. You might be right. There might be some text alluding to that in the Quran. Some years ago, I read an English interpretation of the Quran. It took me a long time to do it. But I don't remember very much of it because it wasn't that interesting to me. Religion isn't. Paul Alawi tweets, what must the stylist have been privy to in order to get the OBE for hushing up? That's a good question. I don't know. Sue tweets, it's the big society, Richie, which they planned a long time ago. As usual, it's inverted in reality. Stephen tweets, those that see the truth are usually told they are depressed, put onto SSRIs, and told to go back to sleep. Tablets, of course. Take these tablets, you'll be okay. You're just a bit depressed. I'm not depressed. I might be sounding it today, but I'm not depressed. I never have been. I'm in good shape. I'm in good form. But that pension story just drove me fucking mad because it was a big, 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 big campaign commitment before the last election. And all the fucking suckers believed it. Again, like the students believed 6 years ago, that the Lib Dems meant it when they said they wouldn't be, you know, party to any increase in tuition fees. Fucking liars. Ronan tweets, some of my neighbours are a bit questionable, but one had a fire recently and knocked on our door so we could close our windows. Wayne tweets, Richie, you're spot on. That way they say about me. Family too, they're all fucked, they don't see it. That's the people. Tommy tweets, not depressed, but realistic and awake to the world. Little villages in the country still just hanging in there. That's right, Tommy, in the short term. Because coastal areas and rural areas, well, these are planned for elimination as well. Super cities are the plan. That's not conspiracy theory either. As the order tweets, the honour list system is a joke and it's a way of MPs and the Prime Minister helping their friends who helped them rip off people. Simple as that. Raymond Lynch, how you doing, Raymond? Nice to hear from you. I much prefer zombie to sheep. Zombie is far more accurate, says Raymond. I think he's right as well. It's going to be zombie from now on in. They certainly look like zombies running around, don't they? With their phones. Cave Hillbilly tweets, love it when you're at Richie and you're 100% right, but you sound like you need a hug. Keep up the good work, mate. I don't do any work, but you've got to remember that. All I do is report on what others do. Cave Hillbilly tweets, love it when you rant, Richie. Yes, I just read that, didn't I? You see, that's it. I'm not completely wobbled by that news this morning. Not that I'm surprised by it, but just the reaction to it. And the violinist tweets, Faisal, Sunnis are like Protestants, no hierarchy. It should be the community who decides the imam, but sponsorship often decides, says Faisal. That's very telling, Faisal. Thank you very much for that. Right, I'm going to move on to some stories where we can put a bit of meat on the bones, a bit of substance. There were protests in Berlin yesterday against German Chancellor Angela Merkel. The protesters were demanding that Merkel resigns in the wake of the recent terrorist attacks in the country. Peter Oliver was there for RT. And this is that report.
They want to see the German Chancellor step down. They're citing her actions over her refugee policy, which saw over 1 million people arrive in the country last year. The latest statistics say almost 200,000 people arrived in the first quarter of 2016. They're angry at what they see as Angela Merkel not doing her duty by the German people. I spoke to some of them and asked them exactly why they're out on the streets of the German capital today.
I had these opinions before the terror attacks. This isn't something that has come suddenly. If we don't do something to stop it, then things will only get worse. That's why I'm here.
This has been a very bad week for Germany. It's not acceptable that we let people into our country without the correct checks. We have a situation with people arriving and it's unclear what their intentions are. That's why we need to clearly define our borders.
Well, following four attacks in the last 12 days, two of those directly linked to Islamic State, tensions have been running high here in Germany.
And of course, Merkel was absolutely clear this week. That was Peter Oliver there from RT. Merkel was absolutely clear this week that Germany wouldn't change its stance on taking in refugees from Syria and from elsewhere. Over 1 million refugees, of course, have come into Germany from Syria on the orders of George Soros, of course. Divide and rule. Divide and rule. The German protesters will be labelled conveniently as racist. And probably one or two out of every 10 or 20 are racist. Idiots that are there because they just hate people. But a lot of people are not racist. They're like, what's going on here? Who's checking these people? And I'm not trying to drive you mad either. I'm not, you know, flip-flopping and changing my opinion. I've always been very even-handed about this. God love the Syrians who've had their lives destroyed by the Mossad and CIA-trained ISIS. God love them. But the elite are driving lunatics into our countries through the flow of migrants into Europe. This is the tragedy of it. I've not changed my opinion on it. The protests are not racist. They just don't know what's going on. And they get their information from Das Bild and German television. Not listening to the independent media. I'm going to be jumping backwards and forwards now between a couple of stories. Here's an extraordinary story and a brilliant bit of journalism from RT's The Resident. Now, Seth Rich was a Democratic National Committee staffer who was shot dead 2 weeks ago in DC, 4 o'clock in the morning. Shot dead multiple times. There were no witnesses to it. And he died in hospital. Now, the police said robbery must have been the motivation, but his watch, his wallet, his credit cards and his cash weren't taken. The media did, of course, report on the murder, but the story disappeared after a day, after a few hours. Now, listen to Ortiz The Resident, which is a terrific investigative journalism programme. And they're asking questions about the murder of Seth Rich that the rest of the media should have been asking. This is very, very good stuff.
You might have heard that the FBI is investigating the cyber attack on the Democratic National Committee, or DNC, that resulted in a massive email leak. If you did hear about it, you probably heard that the FBI is investigating Clinton's claim that the Russians are behind the hack. But you probably didn't hear about another incident around the DNC that is being investigated too, which is this. A DNC staffer was mysteriously murdered in the middle of the night, and police have no leads. Seth Rich was 27, worked for the DNC, and a couple of weeks ago, he was shot twice and killed in the middle of the night on a street in Washington, D.C. Right after, Clinton used his murder as a way to tout gun control. And the Washington Post, a paper owned by Jeff Bezos, a man who really likes the establishment and was just appointed to an advisory board by the Pentagon, used the murder to talk about how dangerous D.C. is. They did a lengthy piece about robbery in D.C., and that's about as far as the story went, as far as the media was concerned. Only problem is, the cops say there was no evidence of a robbery. Rich's mother backs that up. Whoever shot and killed this DNC staffer took nothing but his life. He still had all of his money, his credit cards, his watch, his phone. The cops posted a $25,000 reward for any information, and if they found anything else as of this moment, they aren't saying. But you wouldn't know that, probably, because no one in the media is reporting this murder. So the DNC was just hacked. A huge, major crime that the FBI is investigating. And no one in the media is reporting that one of the DNC's employees who had ready access to the email servers was just mysteriously murdered in the middle of the night? Don't you think that's a part of the story worth mentioning, at least? Instead, they're only reporting, Clinton says Russia did it. Now, I am certainly not saying that Rich was the leaker and that Clinton stole out of the middle of the night and shot him herself. Not at all. I'm just saying, when I only hear one narrative being told by our media and it's all speculative, and I see another very real narrative not being told, I tend to come to one conclusion. Our media sure sucks at investigating, whether it's intentional or not.
Well, the media is owned by the same people who own the politicians. It's an extraordinary eventuality. It's an extraordinary reality. Here's a guy, smack bang center in the middle of the email hacking scandal. You know, is shot dead in bizarre circumstances. Somebody else who's died around the Clinton family, by the way. When all of these emails come out, with all of the information that we talked about last week, that her son-in-law made millions in bets on the Greek debt crisis because of information given to him by Hillary Clinton, Chelsea's husband. Insider information, which was enough, nobody could argue, wasn't enough for her to be arrested and indicted. Just that on its own. This guy gets shot to death. A staffer with server access around the time all this stuff is coming out about Hillary. Incredible. It's incredible. And interestingly enough, Julian Assange has said that Russia had nothing to do with the hacking or bringing out these leaks. But he did say to CNN on Friday that WikiLeaks did have more Clinton-related documents still, and that in time they would release them.
We have more material related to the Hillary Clinton campaign. It is correct to say that. Of course, you have to be very precise in reporting my statements, which are always very precise. Those are extremely interesting. And we will see what will come of them in due course.
There is a question whether you have a personal animus toward Hillary Clinton. You've criticized her on a number of national security, foreign policy issues. Obviously, she has obviously made statements against WikiLeaks. You gave an interview to the British network ITV back in June. You suggested that you're more concerned about Clinton, at least in terms of press freedom, than Donald Trump. Do you stand by that? Is this based on a personal animus?
It is false reporting. You can go back and look at that ITV interview. I never said that I wanted to harm Hillary Clinton, anything like that. It was the presenter that used that word. And the New York Times has picked its candidate in this race. And so it distorts the facts in order to try and get its candidate up.
So the question of anger that you're interfering in the U.S. election, you say this is what that your readers are American and therefore it's okay?
Well, it's what our readers demand, but it's also our basic principles. The publication of true information, and that's an important qualifier, true information about modern human institutions allows us to understand what they're doing and therefore to reform them.
Julian Assange there. We have more documents. I wonder, do any of the documents held by WikiLeaks have anything to do with the Clinton Foundation? Now, speaking of the Clinton Foundation, if you believe Fox News, the IRS or the Inland Revenue Service will be taking a look. How hard a look, I have no idea. But Fox say the IRS will be taking a look at the Clinton Foundation. This is from a Fox News report yesterday.
The IRS now says it will investigate accusations of corruption at the Clinton Foundation, a group that has a lot of money but no clear purpose. Well, a collection of 60 House Republicans are demanding answers. They've issued a letter to the IRS, and it says this in part, quote, "These reports, along with recently discovered information about the foundation's initial tax-exempt filings, portray a lawless pay-to-play enterprise that's been operating under a cloak of philanthropy for years and should be investigated." What does this all mean and what's going to happen? Well, the author of Clinton Cash, Peter Schweitzer, who follows this stuff more closely than anyone, joins us now. Peter, good to see you this morning. So,
hey, good morning, Tucker.
What is the core suspicion here about the Clinton Foundation?
The core suspicion expressed in this letter is that the foundation basically is a conduit for pay-to-play. That, in other words, if individuals make large contributions to the Clinton Foundation, they are getting favors by the Clintons when she was Secretary of State or potentially while she's president.
So why else would the governments of authoritarian countries in, for example, the Middle East give to the Clinton Foundation? They have their own charities. The Clinton Foundation has never been shown to actually do anything for anybody. Is there another explanation for why you would give money to them except to buy favor?
Well, I think that's a good question. No, I mean, to my mind, when you look at the people who are giving large sums of money overseas, they are people that have histories of corruption or being involved in bribery scandals. You know, there's a lot of confusion. Some people say, well, this is a charity. What's the big deal? The big deal is that, Tucker, there are international anti-bribery standards that say bribing a public official can mean giving them money, giving their family money, or giving their charity money. That international bribery standard, by the way, was adopted in 2011, and it was pushed by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. So just because it's a charity doesn't mean that it's not important or not interesting. It constitutes bribery every bit as much as if somebody's putting pocket money in somebody's pocket for a benefit.
You know what the Romans used to do with those who bribed public officials? They used to kill them. I don't believe in the death penalty, so I wouldn't endorse that. Jesus Christ, the Clinton Foundation. I mean, my friend Jean Ann has just reminded me to mention the documentary. She's right to remind me to remind you to watch the documentary. It's on YouTube now. Clinton Cash. Haiti. You know, they've never seen a penny of the money. What would she need to do? This Rothschild Zionist lunatic, this murderer, Hillary Clinton, what would she need to do in order to be arrested? The answer is it doesn't matter what. It's a game. It is a drama. They sell you HBO. They sell you Netflix. They sell you Amazon Prime or whatever it is. Whatever that bloody stick is. And for years you watch Breaking Bad and The Sopranos and The West Wing and all of that. Unknown to you, you're being conditioned. So when they present you with Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and before that, John McCain and Barack Obama, you, what you are being invested in is a drama. It's like virtual reality. You think you are part of a production. You think you are part of something. As an English graduate, I am ashamed that my vocabulary is letting me down here. How do I explain it better than I have explained it? You are immersed in it. You believe it's real. And it isn't. The result was predetermined eons ago. It's why you're not scratching your head, asking your neighbour, whom of course you don't talk to because you and he couldn't give a shit about one another, why aren't we marching to the offices of government to throw these people out on their fucking arses? Because you're part of it. It makes you laugh. How many people are laughing at it in America? I would say lots. Hillary, eh? Jesus. Eh? Bill met with the Attorney General, eh? Imagine. All that money in Haiti, never saw a penny, eh? Incredible. giving her brother, or sorry, her son-in-law, information about the Greek debt crisis that wasn't known to the public. Oh, Jesus. Incredible. Madness. It's madness. The apathy. But it's not apathy. It's a different thing entirely. It's a massive mind control operation on hundreds of millions of people. And there's a massive connection with all of those huge production television shows of recent years. Many of them about politics. One with Kevin Spacey, I can't remember the name of it. The West Wing, all of that. These people are characters in a drama. You're in the audience. But it's the theatre, you see. So you're a part of it. You're in it. It's incredible to me. People can't see that. They really believe that they're choosing between two different ideologies for the presidency. And all the while this is going on, they're being scared shitless every second of the day. James Comey, the FBI director, said on Thursday night, ISIS is losing ground in Syria. They have to admit this now. Because the Syrian army, the government forces, and the Russians have driven ISIS to the brink of extinction in Syria. At least, anyway. So there's no denying this anymore. So the director of the FBI is saying that, well, that's going to have bad consequences because many of these people will end up in the United States. Although he didn't say how. Here's James Comey, fearmonger extraordinaire, speaking on Thursday.
We can't take our eye off what is largely a future threat. And that is, at some point, there's going to be a terrorist diaspora out of Syria like we've never seen before. Not all of the Islamic State's killers are going to die on the battlefield. Hundreds and hundreds of them, when the coalition succeeds, and I'm confident it will, in crushing the Islamic State, through the fingers of that crush are going to come hundreds of really dangerous people, and they're going to flow out primarily towards Western Europe, but we might as well be right next door to Western Europe, given the ease with which people can travel. And this is an order of magnitude greater than any diaspora we've seen before. A lot of terrorists fled out of Afghanistan in the late 1980s and early 1990s. This is 10 times that or more.
10 times that or more. ISIS are going to be over here if we drive them out of Syria. More fear to bring about more surveillance, loss of free speech, more crimes created, more offences created. We've seen that in Britain. Hundreds of new offences created. Ultimately, my friend, we're going to see people spying on their friends and neighbours, phoning hotlines to report something they heard. That sounds like monumental bollocks, doesn't it? And it sounds like this presenter is fear-mongering in the very same way as the FBI director there. But no. I was at a soccer match with David Icke in Wembley 3 years ago. England played Germany. David and myself, Jamie and Gareth were there as well. Jamie Icke and Gareth Icke. Sitting there watching the game. And on the big screens at Wembley Stadium, they kept flashing up a 5-digit number. And it was a text number. If you were bothered by the behaviour of a fan nearby, something he or she was singing was offensive to you, text your seat number and your block number and somebody would deal with it. I looked at Icky. Did you see that? He's like, told you this was coming, Rich. Very easy for that to be on buses or trains or billboards, eh? Imagine it. If you don't like what someone is saying, if it could be harmful to the state, text this number. And be aware, your claim will be treated with the strictest of confidentiality. Jesus Christ. Tell us what your neighbours are doing. And all the while this is going on, the state is warning you about terrorists whom are coming to kill you. Your state, by the way, the UK, the US or France, which is overseas terrorising children in Syria. on Monday of the week just gone, and we mentioned it, of course, on the Richie Allen radio show. Airstrikes led by US coalition forces killed 21 civilians in Manbij's Norman Hazanway quarter in Syria. Forgive my pronunciations. 21 killed. The following day, additional strikes in the region killed 56 more children, women, men. Never done anything to anybody. And prior to those strikes, 100 civilians have already been killed in Manbij in a very short time. Half of those children. And on Friday, 2 days ago, an airstrike by US coalition forces hit the Save the Children hospital in Idlib, a hospital which performs over 300 deliveries every month, a maternity hospital. But these people don't give a shit. The outstanding Gayan Chichikian, reporting for RT, spoke with John Kirby. Listen to this.
U.S. Central Command said late on Thursday it had, I'm quoting here, initiated an assessment following internal operational reporting that a strike today near Manbij, Syria, may have resulted in civilian casualties, end quote. Again, this is U.S. reaction to the latest strike on Thursday. On Wednesday, the U.S. said there was sufficient credible evidence of civilian deaths in another strike, which the U.S. carried out last Monday, also near the city of Manbij. It reportedly killed dozens. So the U.S. is now investigating civilian casualties in a number of U.S. strikes in Syria that happened in less than 2 weeks. Last week, when I asked the State Department whether the U.S. thought the strike in Manbij last Monday was a mistake, State Department's John Kirby seemed visibly irritated with my question.
The U.S. strike that reportedly killed around 20 civilians in the ISIL-held city of Manbij in Syria, was it a mistake on Monday?
That's another great accusatory question you've asked here. No other military works as hard as ours. None. No other military in the world. To prevent civilian casualties. And when they happen, again, I'll say it again because apparently it didn't sink in the first time. When it happens, we investigate it fully and completely. And then we're transparent about it. And then we take the lessons learned and we try to prevent it from happening again. Just to be clear, one is one too many.
While State Department's John Kirby says the U.S. views one civilian casualty as too many, we see reports from Syria saying U.S. strikes killed dozens. The U.S. acknowledges that the strikes happened. It is now assessing how many civilians it estimates may have died in those strikes.
I love Gayan Chichikian. Tragically, though, like Helen Thomas, it probably won't be long before Gayan is barred from those fucking press conferences for asking real questions, because that's what happens. Did you hear the arrogance of the psychopaths there? They don't care, do they? That hundreds of innocent people are blown to fucking pieces by their ordnance on the pretext of taking out terrorists created by the same people. It's mental. I'll be back in a minute to wrap up.
Do you want to release the full potential of your soul consciousness and find out how to experience that power in all areas of your life now? Go to livingasyoursoul.com for free guidance with in-depth how-to articles, free healing meditations of creation recordings, free soul solutions, and much, much more. livingasyoursoul.com, making the profound practical.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk. Now. You're listening to The Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
That's about it for this edition of Sunday View. A rather different, I suppose, tone to the programme than you're used to on a Sunday morning. Some very difficult things to swallow, really. today, the pension story absolutely amazes me. You know, not in terms of what it says and what it reveals, but the way it will be reported upon and what will happen, you know, ongoing. What will, I suppose, tellingly, more importantly, what won't happen. And that is, nobody will stand up against that. The disconnect, I've never known anything like it. The way we have become so disconnected from one another. The lack of tolerance, the lack of empathy we have for one another in our own communities. I'm not going to preach here, and I don't want to sound like I'm preaching, because I'm not a preacher. I'm not perfect. I have as many faults, and I sin just as much as any other man or woman. But the disconnect, this is where it is. It's why nothing will ever happen. You can't stand the sight of the person next to you, on the bus, on the train, or in work, or even the person living next door to you. You've no chance. No chance. That's where it begins. I think that's what David Icke means when he talks on the Worldwide Wake Up Tour about, you know, about doing it in your own house, starting in your own house, in your own town, on your own street. I think that's what he means. Some of the other researchers who've been on this program talking about that before as well. That's where it has to begin. Staggers me. Over the last 2 years of doing this program, the most staggering thing we learned, the most difficult thing to come to terms with, was the announcement that 63 individuals own more tangible wealth, more property, more land, and have more assets than over 3.5 billion people on planet Earth. I mentioned this earlier on when I was saying, only in this reality would an imbalance like that work for the 63. How is it possible that 3.5 billion or 4 billion people can't defeat that? And I know there are 100 answers to that. Television, mainstream radio, consumerism, materialism, Pokemon Go. We'll leave it there for today. I'm back with you live tomorrow at 8 p.m. BST on Monday, as usual, for the Richie Allen Radio Show. Not a lot booked in for next week, but we'll have some great guests for you over the course of the week. We might throw a phone in there as well during the week. We'll see how it goes. It is the summer and all of that. In the meantime, stay with Fab Radio, International.com, AlternateCurrentRadio.com, DavidIcke.com. And remember, David is in Auckland next Saturday. There are tickets available for that. Do go and see him if you can. An absolute triumph so far has the Worldwide Wake Up Tour been. I've been Richie Allen. Thanks for listening to this. If you just came in on the end of it, the podcast will be online soon, and I will have it on YouTube within 90 minutes or thereabouts. Until tomorrow at 8 p.m. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Bye now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIcke.com.